Leaving the White House this morning, President Trump, with Labour Secretary Alex Acosta by his side, announced that Acosta would be resigning next week.
He has been a fantastic Secretary of Labour. And Alex called me this morning and he wanted to see me. And I actually said, well, we have the press right out here, so perhaps you just want to say it to the press. But I just want to let you know, this was him, not me.
2 days ago, Acosta gave a news conference in which he defended a 2008 sweetheart plea deal for financier and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein for sex crimes with teenage girls and did not apologize to the victims.
So let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Abby Phillip is CNN White House correspondent. Hi, Abby.
Thanks for having me.
And Chad Pergram, senior Capitol Hill producer for Fox News. Hi, Chad.
Glad to be back.
Okay, so let's listen here to Acosta in this surprise news this morning.
It would be selfish for me to stay in this position and continue talking about a case that's 12 years old rather than about the amazing economy we have right now. And so I submitted my resignation to the president.
So, Abby, what changed inside the White House on Acosta?
Well, this seems to be a pretty typical turn of events for President Trump, where initially he defends the person in public. He says he feels bad for them. And then he thinks about it, watches the coverage, and starts to believe that it's worse than he originally thought. And according to sources that my colleagues have spoken to, the president over the last couple of days has also been fixating on the idea that Secretary Acosta, in negotiating this deal, didn't actually notify the victims, which was required by law. He broke the law, according to a judge, by doing that. And the president started to fixate on that and started to fixate on the coverage, which he believed would only get worse as this Epstein saga unfolded. So today's end for Acosta is not unusual, that the president would say publicly he's doing fine, that he has a lot of confidence in Acosta, but privately that confidence was waning, and it all culminated in Acosta pulling himself out of the running and then showing up with the president on the South Lawn, which is somewhat unusual, mm-hmm. I would say. But I think it just goes to show that the president was supportive of this move.
And the unusual part in this, too, is the fact that he actually did go. You know, there's been situations where President Trump has also stood by people, or people have hung around much longer when they've been embroiled in scandals. What happened to Alex Acosta here is typically what happens in most administrations. If you have, you know, a major scandal like this or something you're involved in, they would have been out the door, probably more quickly. The anomaly here is the fact that Alex Acosta was still around for a few days and that they were mulling this. I mean, that doesn't happen usually in other administrations, whether it be Democrats or Republicans. This is an anomaly with the Trump administration. Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff, was here on Capitol Hill Wednesday for talks about the debt ceiling. And I talked to him as he came into the building, and he said after Alex Acosta's press conference, quote, "I think Acosta did great. He did exactly what he needed to do. He did an excellent job of laying out the facts." And Mulvaney then started to push back on a report at the time that he was somebody who was advocating for the ouster of Acosta. And Mulvaney said, quote, "that I was for his dismissal was 100% wrong."
Chad, it looked very complimentary, quite a casual setup. It didn't sound as if the president had forced Acosta out. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, here's what is going to happen, was going to happen, and still might happen. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Democratic congresswoman from Florida, she said this morning that Acosta still needs to come and testify before Congress about the contours of this plea deal in Florida with Epstein. Elijah Cummings, who's the chair of the Oversight Committee, said the same. You know, just last night, the Judiciary Committee said, you know, that they wanted to, you know, have an investigation and needed paperwork from the Department of Justice so they could begin to evaluate this. And you could see potentially where that could be yet another standoff, that the Department of Justice does not cooperate with these requests from Democrats on Capitol Hill, and then they wind up issuing subpoenas, and then they're not complied with, and then maybe contempt. We've been down that road so many times, and that was probably where this was going, Frank.
Well, what about the president himself? He once called Jeffrey Epstein a terrific guy, partied with him years ago. Here's what he said about knowing him today.
His island, whatever his island was, wherever it is, I was never there. Find out the people that went to the island. But Jeffrey Epstein was not somebody that I respected.
Abby, what about that? You know, if you go back and listen to some of the things he said in the past, it's not the same as what he's saying today. Are there more shoes to drop here, or is there fear that this could end up touching President Trump in some way?
Well, frankly, we don't know if there are more shoes to drop. But the fact of the matter is, there was a time when President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein were friends. They were social acquaintances. The president ran in Epstein's circles. Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago. They attended parties together. And
he was friends with Bill Clinton, too, by the way.
He was friends with Bill Clinton, too. And like a lot of politicians in both parties, they had ties to this individual who has a long history of accusations of sexual assault, sex trafficking, and the sex trafficking of minors in particular. So there is a concern in the White House that this is a big potential Pandora's box. They don't know exactly what is in it or what could unfold as these investigations unfold, but it could be a potential problem, which is why you've seen President Trump trying to distance himself as much as possible mm-hmm. from Epstein and talking about this big break that he had with Epstein many years ago in which Epstein was kicked out of the Mar-a-Lago club. And it's not exactly clear why that was, but the president said they had a major falling out. And that seems to be borne out by the fact that there is not a lot of evidence of the president and Epstein socializing in the same way, at least in the last, 5 to 10 years.
Chad, let's move on. See if you can help us make sense of what's happening with the citizen question on the 2020 census. So here's President Trump this morning on whether he's backing down on putting that citizen question on the census and instead ordering federal agencies to hand over any citizenship information they have.
Not only didn't I back down, I backed up because anybody else would have given this up a long time ago. The problem is we had three very unfriendly courts. They were judges that weren't exactly in love with this whole thing. And they were wrong.
The president backed up. Chad, what does that mean?
Well, we don't really know. And, it was so extraordinary yesterday when we heard that they weren't going to issue the executive order on this. I was with a bunch of reporters here on Capitol Hill, and somebody read this on Twitter or on their phone and said, they're not going to do this now. And somebody else jumped in and said, yeah, instead what they're going to do is impose sanctions on Mexico. What we're getting at here is that there is such a toggling, a back and forth, a to and froing, that nobody can really keep up, whether it be on the census issue, whether Acosta is in, whether Acosta is out. It's just emblematic of the chaos that we're used to here on Capitol Hill. And this is where it gets into down to brass tacks on serious issues. You know, I talked about Mulvaney being here the other day. They're trying to work out an agreement to raise the debt ceiling. It looks like they might try to do that here in a couple of weeks before the August recess, because they're concerned we might hit the debt ceiling before Congress returns in early September. And when you talk to lawmakers and you talk to the policymakers here on Capitol Hill, they want to keep the president out of these discussions and let the lawmakers work it out. And trying to figure out who's really deputized here is hard. I mean, if I can just flag one more thing, Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative, was here meeting with this working group of Democrats to work out the USMCA, and I'm told that those talks have not budged at all, and there is some question to whether or not, Lighthizer is fully deputized by the president to have the investment to negotiate with these guys, and if they agree to something, does the president sign off on it?
Abby.
But it's important to note that on the census in particular, the president has completely changed his position on this. At some point today in this gaggle, he said that it would be not very accurate to collect citizenship information on the census, but rather their new position, which is to collect it by other means, is more accurate. That is a polar opposite position from what the government has been arguing before the courts over the last several months. And it reflects originally what had been recommended to the administration, which is that using the census to do this is not a great way to collect this information. And the president is clearly backing down, but trying to frame it differently. I think the facts just simply do not support that. The administration is taking, in the last week, they've taken three different positions. First, they said they were not going to include the question. Then they said they were. Then they said they weren't going to include it again because it wasn't an effective way to gather the information. That's chaos, and it's led entirely by the president, who has been the one driving a change of strategy from the very beginning.
But you wonder whether they've gotten what they wanted here, which is to basically, even if they don't get the question on the census, to scare a lot of undocumented immigrants or people who are connected to them from participating in the census in the first place. But we'll take that up another day. Because I want to just, in the minute we have left, ask about 2020. There's a new poll out that has Elizabeth Warren jumping into second place among the Democrats behind Joe Biden, not that far off, ahead of Bernie Sanders, ahead of Kamala Harris, and ahead of Pete Buttigieg, who's in a distant fourth. Chad, your thoughts?
Well, I would look at that as being the role of, a senior senator now. You know, she's been in the Senate for a little bit of time. People have gotten more comfortable with her. And there is definitely that, liberal lane to run in. Perhaps she has surpassed Bernie Sanders in that lane as we get deeper into the 2020 race.
And Abby?
Yeah, I think Elizabeth Warren is really having her moment. And there was a time when everyone thought that she was done, especially after the issues with her DNA test. But clearly, voters are giving her a second look. Uh-huh. And it's partly because she's taken a different approach. She's focused entirely on this sort of, I have a plan for that type of mantra. And I think that's been working, at least so far.
Abby Phillip is CNN White House correspondent. Chad Pergam is senior Capitol Hill producer for Fox News. This is Here and Now.